Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Addressing Hardware Obsolescence for VxWorks 5.x-based Systems. I'm your moderator, Brandon Lewis, with today's speaker, John Bliss of Wind River. To quickly introduce John, he graduated with a BS in computer science in 1988 and spent the next 9 years as a software developer designing parallel processing algorithms for electromagnetic environment simulators. For the last 17 years, John has been with Wind River, where in his early days he provided direct support to customers as an FAE. More recently, he has assumed the role of a solutions architect for Wind River's North American aerospace and defense business, where his primary objective is to solve complex customer issues by formulating custom technical solutions based on Wind River's commercial software, open source software, proprietary third-party software, and Wind River's professional services capabilities. Now, before we begin, just a few housekeeping items to address, starting with the features of your viewing console. The Enlarge Slides button will maximize the presentation slides to fill your entire screen. Second, the Download Slides button will allow you to download and print the slides if you prefer to follow along with a hard copy. Next, the Forward to a Friend button enables you to send an email that includes a registration link to this eCast so that friends and colleagues can also attend. The Ask a Question text box allows you to participate in the event by simply typing your question into the box and hitting the Submit Question button below. You can submit questions at any time during the course of the presentation, and we encourage you to do so early and often while reviewing the material. We'll address as many of these questions as possible during the closing QA, and if you have questions regarding the ECAS operation itself, submit those as well, and one of our technicians will be happy to assist you. One final note before we begin is a reminder that all Open Systems Media ECASs are copyrighted and may not be recorded without prior permission. Now to hand it off to you, John, take it away.
Thank you very much, Brandon, and thank you, everybody, for joining me today. I'm looking forward to the presentation. But first, a little background before we jump into any of the slides. As Brandon mentioned, I've got an interesting title of Solutions Architect. And what that really means is I get to travel across North America, visiting all of Wind River's aerospace and defense customers, trying to get an understanding of some of their key business challenges and where they're trying to go in the future. During some of these conversations, I've run into customers who are unfortunately stuck in the past. In the past in that they have the balls to continue to deploy systems, but are struggling to find parts or boards that they have been using in the past to continue deploying. Either these commercial boards are no longer available, or the inventory for the discrete devices for custom hardware have been depleted. And I sort of refer to this as a business problem because, in reality, there are several technical solutions to these problems, but the costs and the schedule for the typical solutions are not consistent with the business needs of these programs. In short, a typical solution would be too costly and take too long. So what I'd like to discuss today are some potential approaches to solving these hardware obsolescence business issues that our customer base just might not be aware of. And the way we're going to approach this discussion today is just recap the general problem situation that companies have shared with me in recent months. Then we'll talk about some top-level design issues that should be considered as potential solutions are evaluated. And then we'll get to the meat of the discussion. We'll walk through a few scenarios to elaborate more in detail on what the challenges are and how we might be able to solve that through a combination of Wind River product and services. So the general situation review. Unfortunately, board vendors, end-of-life hardware, and just are not in a position to keep on building the same piece of hardware for, you know, the next 15 or 20 years. There's always a hardware obsolescence timeline associated to products, and unfortunately, chips are constantly evolving, and particular discrete devices are no longer available. But our customers are typically challenged with the need to keep on reusing application software that has been developed and tested and needs to be deployed for the long term. And unfortunately, when hardware goes obsolete and a customer is looking to get a new board running 5.x, That's just not commercially available. It's just not possible for Wind River to backport every version of VxWorks to every new generation of hardware that becomes available. And when customers come to me and say, hey, can we get this technology ported forward, usually it's cost prohibitive. So what we really need to be talking about is what are the possible solutions to solve this business issue. And before we dive into that, what we really need to do is make sure we have our ducks in a row and we look at a set of design issues that will go into the decision on how to solve the overall problem. One of the key issues our customers have, as I mentioned previously, is they need to reuse all of the application code that they currently have and make no changes to it or make as few changes as possible to the source code. And the reason they have this requirement is because of the amount of testing and internal certification that has been done. And the thought of having to spend another 18 months or 2 years going through that testing again because the applications have been moved to a new version of an operating system are just too daunting. Another concern should be to determine whether or not new functionality or capabilities might need to be added to the legacy software. Maybe there's a growth path for your system. Maybe down the road, IPv6 needs to be supported or something along those lines. Consideration of multi-core issues should be taken into account. Right now, most systems that are deployed basically all systems that were deployed 10 years plus ago are running on unicore parts. These days, it may not even be possible to buy a unicore part unless you do some sort of system-on-chip solution with something like an ARM. So when you approach your silicon vendors like Freescale or your board vendors like GEIP or Curtiss-Wright, you're going to be put in the position of having to look at various PowerPC parts or even core parts from Intel that are going to have multiple cores on them. Another key issue is application certification requirements. Do you have an internal standard that has to be met? Does your end customer have a particular certification process that has to be followed? And how much time will that take? You know, if the answer is no, then maybe you can get away with moving to a new version of VxWorks 7. If you are in a situation where it's going to take you years to get through that certification process because you're changing the operating system, then maybe this alternate path that we're going to discuss is going to make sense. Historically, a lot of our avionics customers have deployed systems that are airborne but have no formal certification requirements. Usually in the military space, for example, a military UAV did not have a certification requirement, but maybe that UAV vehicle might have to fly in commercial airspace in the future, so there may be a roadmap to some sort of commercial certification like the 0178. So those are some of the issues that should be investigated. There's also key issues around security. In the past, a trusted boot sequence or an anti-tamper requirement might not have been needed, but for example, if that vehicle that we just discussed, the UAV, happens to go down in a hostile area, you know, what additional precautions must be taken to make sure that the intellectual property is protected? Other issues to consider are hardware availability. Are you looking to build a board? Are you looking to go to a COT supplier? Maybe build a custom board using internal resources, or maybe a semi-custom board based on a COTS supplier's reference platform, or maybe even you're looking to use Simix, a Wind River simulation technology for simulating hardware. You know, trying to understand how your hardware strategy fits into your overall program is going to be key to the scenarios that we're going to walk through. Some other key considerations include your familiarity with VxWorks 5X, with 6X, and with 7X, and what kind of internal BSP development capabilities you have internally. And then, of course, there's schedule needs. You need to keep in mind that If you've got a program that spans a year, you might need synchronization with development drops of software along the way. You might need to do some parallel software development work with hardware design. So just getting all of these topics put down on paper and thought out is key to formulating a really responsible solution for your hardware obsolescence issues. So now with those in our background, let's go ahead and take a look at the scenarios we're going to walk through today. And these scenarios start relatively simple and then build in complexity. The first one is the most typical one that I've seen recently, and that is a customer has a 5.x system. It has legacy application reuse requirements with no new functionality, no increased performance requirements. So we're going to talk about a potential solution for that. The next one talks about, well, how do you take possibly two federated VxWorks 5.x systems that are each running independently on antiquated hardware and possibly merge them into a single solution to help address space, weight, and power issues? In that scenario, we're going to talk about no new software requirements, no new performance requirements. It's just maintaining the functionality of two federated boards. And then in the third scenario, we're going to talk about the merger of two federated systems, but also putting in a roadmap to allow for additional functionality to be added immediately, as well as down the road. So those will be the three scenarios that we walk through today. But the key to all of those scenarios is understanding the architecture of VxWorks 5.x. And the fundamental principle that the software-specific architecture libraries are an independent block in the overall structure, meaning that at the very bottom where you have hardware, that can be COTS hardware, it could be custom hardware, it doesn't really matter. On top of that, you're going to have a board support package that leverages architecture-specific libraries provided by Wind River. And then everything above that is more or less architecture agnostic. The VxWorks API is, it doesn't really matter what processor you're using. And then on top of that will be the applications that our customers build using that API, which are mostly architecture agnostic. So the whole concept behind everything we discussed today is the fact that that processor-specific architecture library block can be updated and enhanced and moved between different versions of VxWorks. So let's look at this first scenario, maintaining a legacy system. What I'd like to do is just give you a few more details on what one particular customer shared with me. They basically have a VME chassis with a PowerPC board based on a 603 core that was designed 15 years ago and has been in the field for the last 13 years. About 5 years ago, they did a hardware buyout to build up some inventory. Unfortunately, they've got about a year left of inventory, and the COTS manufacturer can no longer build the board and has offered a replacement board. It's a P4080 multi-core part. Same form factor, will drop right in from a hardware perspective. The board vendors also said, hey, I've got a VxWorks 7 BSP that you can have off the shelf. And my customer did some internal analysis, and they determined that it was going to take a four-person team 18 to 24 months to port and revalidate the applications on this new VxWorks 7 P4080 system. As I mentioned earlier, that's a little bit of a problem for them because they only have 12 months of inventory left. And the key challenge they have to face is they need to field this for another 10 years. So this particular project manager was not in a very, very comfortable position when we spoke. But fortunately, the solution is actually rather straightforward and can be implemented practically in a third or less time than what they have available. And that's to backport architecture support to VxWorks 5.x. So if we look at our latest generation of VxWorks 6.9 or 7.0, Windriver easily supports the P4080 architecture. So we have all the architecture libraries available, tested, and deployed for many, many programs with our customers. Those architecture libraries can be moved back into VxWorks 5.x. The tool chain can be moved back, and through efforts from the Windriver services team, the VxWorks 5, in this particular case, 5.x platform, can be updated and made to look like it supports out-of-the-box the P4080 architecture. So basically what this allows you to do is move to new hardware, take advantage of the new compilers, take advantage of the P4080 architecture without having to make any significant changes to your application code. You may have to do some changes to header files. You may have to deal with some additional error or warning messages because new compilers are a lot more strict than what was initially provided with VxWorks 5. And you may have some host issues if you struggle to find Windows XP machines, but those typically can be mitigated by moving to a newer Windows version or a Linux host, and we have support or the ability to do that. So basically, with this type of approach, you can move from a multi-man year effort, cost and schedule-wise, to something that probably can be started and finished within a six-month period. Maybe even a little bit less if we're using off-the-shelf hardware from a board supplier like Extreme Engineering or GEIP. If there's custom hardware in the picture, it may take a little bit longer. So for the second scenario, it's practically identical to the first scenario, except there are two boards involved. So you've got a VME chassis with two pieces of hardware that have been obsoleted. We could treat this problem very similar to how we did with scenario number one. We could just treat each board individually, but that still puts you in a position of having to buy two boards. And that still puts you in a position of having to provide power for two boards and having separate development cycles and validation cycles for two pieces of hardware. An alternate approach might be to leverage the multi-core capabilities of the new processing technology and the virtualization capability of VxWorks 7. And when I say this, what you really can do is create virtual instances of VxWorks 5 and allocate each instance to a particular core on your target hardware. So for a P4080, I believe you can have that with four or eight cores. What you would end up doing is just turning on two cores, turning off all the rest, and allocating core zero to system A and core one to system B. You'd still have to do your architecture backport to 5.x. You'd still have to have a 5.x BSP. But just as in scenario number one, your application changes would be completely minimized to maybe some header changes and dealing with compiler issues or development host issues. And the key benefit to this approach is the reduction in hardware needs. If you're building custom hardware, you're going from two custom boards down to one. If you're buying boards from a COTS supplier, you're going down from two boards to one. So it has a cost benefit as well as schedule benefit for solving your hardware obsolescence issue. Now moving on to the third scenario. This is probably the most challenging for folks in that you're dealing with maintaining legacy software requirements, but you also have requirements for adding new functionality to your system over the next few years. And that functionality is not well defined. So a potential solution would be very similar to scenario number three, where you establish two virtual boards running a 5.x version of the operating system. But for the new functionality, you would add a third virtual board running VxWorks 7 applications. This would allow your legacy software to run unchanged, but also give you a state-of-the-art operating system environment for new applications to run. Of course, you'd have the issues of dealing with I/O and making sure they're mapped to the appropriate virtual boards, but that's not that complicated as long as you have a well-defined architecture. And the interesting thing about this approach is you can turn off unused cores now, but in the future, you could turn on additional cores and add additional virtual boards. What I have seen some folks do is even look to add Linux to a historically VxWorks operating system configuration to take advantage of open source technology or third-party applications that have been previously ported to Linux where they have not been ported to VxWorks. So this is like the crescendo of solutions. You get to leverage legacy software. You get to take on new requirements using the latest version of VxWorks, and you get to position yourself to support the addition of future requirements by working on a multi-core configuration. So in summary, and I know this is pretty quick, it wasn't really a complicated topic, but the key thing to appreciate here is that if you've gone through some sort of assessment of your program and schedule and costs for moving to new hardware in a new version of VxWorks just don't fit your business needs, then it might make sense to look into backporting architecture libraries and maintaining your current VxWorks 5.x application code base. What I would encourage is that you reach out to your local Wind River account managers or possibly contact me directly, and we'd be happy to talk about past projects that we've done, recommended architectures, and you know how we might be able to help out. Brandon, that's all I wanted to share today, so I'm passing the ball back to you for a possible Q&A session.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, John. Reviewing some of those challenges of hardware obsolescence, as you said, bring us into the Q&A portion of the event. We ask that the audience keep those questions coming, and we'll try to get to as many of them as we have time for in the rest of the half hour. John, there's a question here about scenario. Here, let's see. There's a question here about VxWorks 6. Does this does what you've just described for VxWorks.5x apply to VxWorks 6 at all?
It doesn't discount it, but it's really very specific to the architecture that you're working with. A lot of the VxWorks 6 architectures are still supported with VxWorks 7. So the real issue here is if you're using an old processor architecture that hasn't been moved forward, you know, something like MPC 860 from Freescale. You know, that was a very popular architecture 15 years ago, but it's certainly not supported now with newer versions of the operating system. But, yeah, I guess that's pretty much the answer for you. It really depends on the part.
Excellent. How do you deal with unique hardware not on the CPU module?
If you're referring to discrete devices, those typically have to be replaced with new devices that have that are still commercial or that are commercially available. So, for example, for an Ethernet interface, if the PHY device that you were using 15 years ago is not commercially available now, you have to select a new PHY. But the good thing about that is that new PHY will be reflected in work at the board support level. It typically would not impact your application work. It's device driver oriented and would have to be addressed when you put a new board support package together for the processor architecture and VxWorks 5.
Great. All right. And before we move on to the next question, just want to remind the audience, keep with those questions coming in, and we'll get to as many of them as we possibly can. Here's another one that kind of follows up on the one you just responded to, John. As you combine systems, you're likely going to have hardware mapping conflicts. Can you speak at all to that as system integration moves up the value chain?
Let's see. As you combine systems, you will likely have unique hardware map. I guess I could take that in a couple different ways. Each board usually has a unique memory map for I/O, so you certainly will have to address that if you're merging boards and allocating individual cores for each board. So with the VxWorks 7 virtualization layer, there's techniques or protocols available for doing that mapping so that if your system only has one Ethernet device, it can be shared across multiple virtual boards. What I would recommend is the person, whoever asked that question, would be to definitely follow up and give me some additional details on your concerns so I can provide a little bit more detail of a response.
Okay, great. As far as modern processor architectures go, John, which one do you see them being the most popular today in terms of overcoming hardware obsolescence?
Yeah, because the aerospace and defense market is still very freescale oriented, the most popular parts that we're seeing today are the P4080, the P3041, and then the T2080. Those seem to be pretty much the dominant parts that are readily available on COTS boards from board suppliers. And fortunately, that maps up very well with Windows commercial offerings. So doing these architecture backports for those freescale processors is pretty straightforward. If you're looking at Intel, then an Atom device or an i5 or i7 are very popular. And if you're looking at ARM, you're looking at a Cortex A9 or Cortex A15. Those are typically the parts I end up having conversations with our customers on.
Okay, great. You referred a little bit to a virtualization layer earlier in the presentation. Is that the same thing as a hypervisor, or is it different?
It's pretty much the same thing. Hypervisor was a term that Windover came to market with a few years ago to describe our technology. And over the years, we've ended up morphing it to just refer to it as a virtualization layer. And several of our products have a common virtualization layer, whether it's VxWorks 7, VxWorks 653, or Mills technology.
Okay, great. Here's another question related to virtualization. What's the overhead that it imposes on systems in terms of startup time and CPU utilization?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to answer that because it's different for every processor architecture, and it's different based on how you configure your software architecture. What I can share with you is that we do have some numbers, and I'm sure your local account team would be happy to work with you to provide that insight.
Great. All right. And coming down the home stretch here, how long does it take for a backport of a processor architecture typically?
Well, one of the interesting things about working with Windover Services is that we collect intellectual property as we do projects. So, for example, we're in the process of doing one of these exercises now. We'll have an architecture backport completed, which means that if a customer comes to us in the future and they would like to reuse that same type of architecture, as long as they don't have any unusual requirements at the BSP level, you know, we could be done within a month or so. On the other side, if it is a new architecture that hasn't been backported previously and there's custom hardware being built, then that whole sequence could take a year, depending on how long it takes to build the custom hardware.
Great. All right. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of our time today. I want to thank John for giving us some great insight there on hardware obsolescence and the use of the VxWorks 5.x architecture to solve some of those challenges. For those of you with questions that we didn't get to, we'll make sure to have some Wind River representatives follow up with you. Thank you again for attending, and this eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours. An audio-only podcast will be made available there as well. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media's eCast available for download as MP3s there as well. Thanks for attending again, and have a great day.